So we got to go back and just keep building on everything we've been talking about. I know I've been hammering away at this point, but I'm going to keep on doing that. If you look at your outline there, the human person is as much body as soul. If you've been here in the last few weeks, you have heard me say that. The body and it alone is capable of making visible what is invisible, the spiritual and the divine. The body expresses the person. To be human is this profound union of body and soul. Okay. So what happens then if you only look at the body? Or just parts of the body? What happens when you don't look at the whole person? See, that's what Jesus is driving at in those words I just read for you. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now we're just going to do this right out of the gate. We're going to tackle the epidemic of pornography. If you look at the chart that's there on your sheet, these are some statistics based on how often pornography is viewed. This is at least once a month. So you can look at the men and women as you divide it out that way, and even by their ages. It's always been thought that pornography is a man's issue, but what you can see is that it's increasingly becoming a woman's issue as well, especially among younger women. What's happened to make that happen? If you look at the next kind of category there, the difference between Christians and non-Christians, it's not a whole lot, is it? And the last one listed there, teens. I might suggest to you perhaps that one's even a little underreported. What's really concerning, though, and if you flip your sheet over, is the growing acceptance of pornography in our culture. The idea that, well, this is just kind of normal. Just 55% of adults, 25 and older, believe that pornography is wrong. 90% of teens and 96% of young adults are either encouraging, accepting, or neutral when they talk about pornography with their friends. What's the big deal? There is so much that is wrong with pornography. But I'm just going to highlight one of them, maybe the most important one of all. That behind every image is a person. That body is a person who is not made to be used. It's reported that in the pornography industry, if you can call it that, actors, it's well known that they abuse drugs and alcohol. And here's the reason why. One of them, interviewed, said this. You're viewed, this is a quote, you're viewed as an object, not as a human with a spirit. Notice that, body and soul. And she goes on to say, people do drugs because they can't deal with the way that they're being treated. We know we're not supposed to be used. We know this. Now, of course, the look that Jesus is talking about here is more than just the use of pornography. The look that he's talking about, my brothers, this can especially be a struggle for us, right? Men, by the way God created us to be, are typically quite visual. But this is more than noticing that someone might be attractive. Beautiful, of course, is beautiful. It is. But what Jesus here is talking about is looking in a way that you are taking something. It's lingering there in that look and in that desire. It's devaluing her because you're using her body for your visual gratification. She's a person. She's a body with a soul, with a heart. And that is a heart, friends, that can be hurt. I mean, I think one of the most despicable things men will do is when they manipulate the heart of a woman to get her body. All right, but now what about you ladies? Let me ask you, do you like it when guys check you out? So I hear a little soft chuckle going on there. That's a complicated question, right? It's a complicated question. So on the one hand, It repulses you that a guy would check you out and that he would treat you like an object. It repulses you that he only looks at your body. He doesn't look at who you are. It repulses you when he won't even look above your shoulders. But on the other hand, there is a desire there to be desired. And so sometimes a woman wants to attract that attention, right? Maybe she purposely dresses in a provocative way, and that's the aim. She wants to provoke him. She wants to incite him or them, men, to lust. But any woman who does this is not appealing to a man's strength. It's appealing to his weakness, and it's a way to control him, right? It's a way to get what she wants. She's using him. In our culture, modesty is a lost virtue. But modesty does not make you a prude. Modesty protects your true beauty and your true dignity. You, none of us, you are not an object. So don't act like you are. And don't let anybody use you like you are. Because deep down, is that what you really want? Ladies, is that what you really want, for him just to be attracted to your beauty, to your outward appearance, and to your body? Or do you want him to be attracted to you, to who you are? Do you want him to see you, the person? We all know the old cliche. Men use love to get sex. Women use sex to get love. But the point is that both of them are using each other. And that's not love, that's lust. We are made, though, for love. That lust is the direct opposite of that love. What Jesus is driving at is that we can't just deal with the externals, with the surface behavior. Hey, I've never committed the act of adultery, so I'm good, right? No, he says, the problem is that in your heart you want to commit adultery. You desire to commit adultery. You lust. But what I want to do is take us back to where I left off last week. When Jesus says this to us, you know, if you even look at a woman or a man, whatever, doesn't matter, with lustful intent, you've committed adultery in your heart. What's he doing to us? Is he just trying to convince us that we're far worse than we would like to think? Is he just trying to condemn us and accuse our hearts of how rotten we are? You know what? You thought you were okay. No. You are rotten to the core. Is that Jesus' point? Or does he want us to go down to the core of who we really are? That deep down in the core of us is actually the point of our redemption. There's where we're going to be transformed. We got to go into the depths of our hearts, friends. And that scares us because you know and I know in our hearts, there's a whole bunch of toxic sludge swimming around in there, right? Nobody wants to go there. Let's just sort of seal that off. There's a bunch of garbage down there. There's baggage and there's hang-ups and there's guilt. And then, of course, there's all the weird, twisted, perverted things that we think and that we act on. And it's all swimming around in there. And I don't want to let Jesus in there. Lust is one of those things, right? Burning inside of us. Lust is like a fire. I mean, at first it's kind of warm and exciting, right? And then it begins to rage out of control. And no matter how much you would feed that lust monster, that raging, fiery lust monster, you feed it and you think, that'll satisfy it. It never does. It just keeps raging out of control. It's never enough. Jesus wants to go into your heart because, yes, he wants to confront it. He wants to confront all that toxic sludge. He wants to confront that raging, fiery lust monster inside you. Yes, yes, but he wants to go deeper than even that. He wants to go even deeper and below all of that garbage. When Jesus calls out into your heart, when he speaks these words, if you've even done this in your heart, he's not speaking into a bottomless pit or a void within you. Jesus is speaking to something else. If you would just listen closely to his words, there's something else there in your heart, isn't there? Something begins to echo back. Something begins to say, yeah, I know. I'm not supposed to be like this. I was made for more than this. Deep down inside, I'll tell you right now, I don't want to be that guy. I hate that I can look at a woman and not treat her with the dignity she deserves, created by God. I hate that. I hate that there are things I have seen in my lifetime and I can't erase them from the hard drive in my mind. I hate it. But you see, what Jesus is doing as he calls into my heart and as he calls into your heart, he's calling to something deeper within us. There's an echo down inside there that as he voices, that echo begins to respond back. It's the echo of what we've lost, that original created intent that we talked about last week. Jesus is not here to condemn us and to simply accuse our hearts. What he's doing, friends, is he's appealing to your hearts. He's saying to you and me, listen, there's something else there. This is what I'm after. He is calling out to a dead man or a dead woman and saying, come out of the grave and come alive. How many of you have seen the movie Moana from Disney? Oh, man. Some of y'all just got to get out a little bit more. Listen, that's the pot calling the kettle black. Don't miss it. Anyway, it's a wonderful movie. It's a myth, but I think sometimes myths can teach us a lot. There's underlying truths in them, and this storyline, I think, is a parable for us. So for the majority of us here who haven't seen it, let me just set up for you what is going to happen, what you're going to see. The Polynesian islands, everything is dying. And this is because the goddess Tafiti, her heart has been stolen by a demigod named Maui. Moana, the heroine of the story, sets out on an adventure because what she wants to do is restore the heart of Tafiti. Tafiti is the one who keeps everything alive. Now everything's dying. So she sets out to restore the heart of Tafiti, but as she approaches the island, Tafiti's missing. And a fiery monster named Teka stands in the way.
And chicken's another story for another day.
Did you see it? I mean, Moana is a Christ figure, right? This is what Jesus does to us. He comes to restore our hearts. Did you listen to what she was singing? The words are there on your sheet. Follow along if you would. I've crossed the horizon to find you. I know your name. They have stolen the heart from inside you. But this does not define you. This is not who you are. You know who you are, who you truly are. Jesus is calling out into the depths of your heart and says, you know who you really are. You know you were made for more than this. Okay, so now what? In our first reading, Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. It's not just freedom from, it's freedom for. Jesus sets us free from that lustful desire, free from that user look. But he also sets us free for something, for another kind of look, another way of looking so that we can see the whole person, and reverence them. It means, for those of us who are guys, that you could see an absolutely gorgeous woman, and you can see her beauty, but see her true beauty, not just the external beauty, but see the depths of who she is. Or actually, how about seeing someone who's maybe not so attractive externally? You ever seen a picture of Mother Teresa? She was not very attractive on the outside. Have you ever heard of or known a more beautiful woman than Mother Teresa? See, the answer is not looking. I'll just look away. I'll never look at a woman or I'll never look at a man. No, it's learning how to look with a transformed heart, a heart that sees purely. It's the way Adam and Eve, naked in the garden, without shame, must have been able to see each other before sin. Ultimately, it's the way God sees, the way he sees us. I mean, is it possible for a man to look at a beautiful woman and not lust? Yes, Jesus has done this. Jesus has done this. Jesus had many women who are his disciples and followers, but he never used any of them. He set them free. He sets us free. Jesus is appealing to your heart, and he's appealing to my heart, because he wants to resurrect from within us that original creation and intent. He wants to bring it back to life. Now, you can't and I can't bring it back to life on our own willpower. Say, okay, I'm just going to be better. If I just try harder, I'll beat lust. No. What he calls us to do, when he speaks into our heart, he gives the gift of himself. He gives the gift of his Holy Spirit. What you and I have to do, we just have to open up. Open wide this heart and say, yes, take me and transform me, Lord. You got to hang with me for this last part, because this is the part where we're transformed. Paul says that there's a battle raging within each of us between the flesh and the spirit. Now, by flesh, he doesn't mean the body, as if it's just about our bodily desires. When he says the flesh, what he means is the whole person, body and soul, outside God, the Spirit of God not living in you. This is Tefiti turn Teka, that fiery monster, without a heart, and everything's dying. The flesh is doing whatever you want to gratify your own lustful desires and using other people to do it. And Paul lists for us, and it's on your sheet there, the works of the flesh. You heard them already. These are works. These are the things that we think, and these are the things that we do. Paul says, you got to crucify those things. You got to kill them. You got to nail them to the cross. Here's one way you can do that. You got to deny yourself. In other words, you got to stop feeding that lustful, fiery rage monster within you. Maybe stop looking at and watching what you're looking at. But then there's the desires of the Spirit. And the Spirit, again, is the whole person, body and soul, surrendering the whole person to him. It's opening the heart to him. And when you do, when everything comes alive, just like when Tefiti is restored, everything comes alive. We're given the fruits of the Spirit. Notice, these aren't the things that we do. It's the things that the Spirit is growing in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. See, if the problem in our hearts has been that we desire to commit adultery in our hearts, what needs to happen in our heart are these dispositions, these fruits of the Spirit. That's the transformation. This is what our heart really comes to desire. Now think about it. How does something come alive in soil and bear fruit? Everything is received. Everything, the seed, the sun, the water, the carbon dioxide, everything is received and it begins to grow. This is what we got to do, friends. We got to open our hearts to the Spirit. If you want to be able to see the way that Jesus sees, then you have to receive Jesus in faith and let him come and live within you. But this is what he gives us in this Eucharist. It's why we're here this morning. If you want to kill the fiery rage monster of lust within you, then you got to come to confession and confess it and kill it and say, I don't want that anymore. But in the words of absolution, when you're forgiven, you're given that new heart and a new start. And my brothers and sisters, we've got to read the scriptures and read them in a way, not just glancing through the words, but read the scriptures in a way that they speak deeply into our hearts. And within us, there becomes this profound prayer, this reliance upon God, so that what we ask for, we receive. We ask for that help and the grace and the strength to fight this battle, and we receive it. Because again, this is the posture of prayer, open. That's why when we say the Lord's Prayer, we open our hands and our hearts. We're just going to receive it all. How many of you thought it's because we're lifting up? No. It's because we're opening wide. We're opening wide. This is how Jesus comes and restores the heart. As Moana sang out to Teka, notice she came across fiery, raging, and then slowly slowed down and opened, and you could actually see her allow Moana to place the heart. Did you notice, I'm going to finish here, that of the fruits of the Spirit, the first one and the last one, love and self-control, I want to connect those. See, if you don't have self-control, then you do not have possession of your heart. I mean, if lust controls your heart, then you don't have a heart you're in control of to be able to give away. But for freedom, Christ has set us free. If you have the fruit of self-control, if you are in control and in possession of your heart, then you now have a heart that you can give away. You can love. You can be who you are, who you truly are. Christ has come to set you free. He has not come to just condemn your heart. He has come to appeal to your heart and to call you to life, to call you to love, to be who you are made to be. I just want to give you just a quick moment. You know the things that control your heart. It might be lust, might be something else. I give you just a moment in prayer now to just surrender that to our Lord and let Him come to you and restore your heart.